what's going on in the world, but I do want to just caution you this morning. It wouldn't be a bad or terrible idea for you to stock up a little bit on groceries and fill your car up with fuel. With everything that has happened with our military actions last night and the day before, I'm not saying that it will lead to war, but the tensions are very high. And as a church, we need to pray. We need to be praying for our troops. We need to be praying for our country. And we need to be praying for Israel during this time. Tensions are very high across the Middle East right now. There are some that are very happy for what we did in the Middle East. There are some that are very upset. So we just need to pray that God will protect, right? All right, that's all I'm going to say about it. So for several months, I've been really feeling like God is up to something, right? There's just been things that have been happening that I've just been feeling something is going to happen, and something is going to shake, so to speak. And I couldn't get away from healings, and I really feel like that the Lord is wanting to heal people. And you know, that's something that we pray about and we talk about all the time, that we are expecting God to heal people, right? And so I just, as I was praying about that and I was thinking about that, I believe that God is wanting to heal people, not only physically but emotionally and spiritually. And I believe that God can heal them, right? Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if this scripture is true, then we know that he can heal. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some instances where Jesus healed people. And, you know, the thing about him healing people is it's the problem isn't always a faith issue. You may believe, you may have the faith that he can heal you. You know that he's able. You've read the miracles. You've seen him work in other people's lives. But when it comes to you, you're not so sure. You feel like that your past disqualifies you. You may feel like that because of who your family is, it disqualifies you from healing. You carry a worry of what other people may think about you or say about you. Well, if I just go down to the altar, they're just going to say, well, they're already talking about you. Maybe you deal with the fact that it's too heavy, or I'm too far gone, or this situation is too big. In Matthew 8, chapter 8, we come to the first healing recorded in Matthew, and it's also recorded in Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 5, and we see a man who feels disqualified, and his body was decaying, his hope was fading, his community had given up on him, but he had enough faith to come to Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it says, large crowds followed Jesus. This is after the Sermon on the Mount. And large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. And suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, this man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. And then Jesus said to him, don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy, and this will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. This man was desperate. He was desperate. At this time, leprosy was incurable. There was nothing they could do about it. Verse 2, it says, suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. This wasn't, you know, leprosy wasn't just a little sore on your hand. Leprosy was a big deal. It was a skin disease, and it was the sentence of receiving leprosy was isolation. Lepers were forced out of the community. They couldn't worship in the temple. They couldn't hug their loved ones. There was no touching anyone, because you were considered unclean. Anytime anyone got close to them, they had to yell unclean and walk across the street to be away from that person. They're walking down the road. Someone's coming towards them. They had to start yelling unclean and get to one side or the other, preferably not the side that the other person's coming down. Everywhere they went. This man shouldn't have been anywhere near this crowd. I'm sure that he saw this crowd coming off the mountain, and he shouldn't have been anywhere near it, much less Jesus. He should have seen the crowd and just got on out of there, yelling unclean as he went. Instead, though, this guy defies all social standards. He comes and kneels before Jesus. This is what desperation does. It drives us to Jesus. When doctors can't help, when people won't touch you, when shame tries to shut you out, Jesus becomes the only place to turn. Then you have to push past the internal struggle of pushing past what other people will think about you or say about you. You have to push past all of those things and come to Him. What will it take for you to move towards Jesus? This guy had serious faith that Jesus could heal him. He says in verse 2, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." He doesn't say, "if you can." He says, "I know you can. Are you willing? Are you willing?" This man believed that Jesus was able. He wasn't sure about if he would care about him, though. He knew that he was able, but will he do it? "I'm just a leper. I'm an outcast of society. I'm not worthy of this." There's no doubt that Jesus can heal him, but would he? And I think that's the question that many of us wrestle with. We know that God can bless others, but will he bless me? I know that he forgives, but will he forgive me? Does he even want to fix the problem that I'm in? I know that he can heal other people, but will he heal me? And like the leper, you don't need perfect faith. You just need enough faith to ask, to make the first move to the altar. The hardest part about serving Jesus, the hardest part about serving God or asking Him for help is the first step. The first step to the altar is the hardest to make. It's the hardest one. You're standing there and we're calling to the altar, and the hardest step is the first step. Do I move? And we have this internal struggle inside of us. If I respond, what will people think? What will people say? I don't know that this is really for me. And all of these things are playing through our mind in the moments before we take the first step. I shouldn't be struggling with this. I've been in the church for a long time. Take the first step. Take the first step. Take the first step. This guy said, "I don't care what others think. I don't care what they have to say. I got to get relief." There has to come a point that we stop worrying about what the other people are going to say and think and do what God is telling us to do. There are moments, and there have been moments in my life where if I would have listened to what everyone around me was saying, I wouldn't have moved doing what God was telling me to do. Because what God was asking me to do seemed ridiculous. But I knew that God was asking me. And regardless of how ridiculous it looked, and regardless of how crazy it seemed to everyone around me, I knew what He was saying. And sometimes we feel like that when we're getting ready to respond, when we're asking Jesus, when we're asking him to heal us, when we're asking him to move in a situation in our life, we think he's got bigger fish to fry. He's got bigger things to worry about than my little problem. It's not a big deal. People are going to just say, suck it up. Yeah, sometimes God tells me to suck it up. Right? Sometimes that's what we need to hear. It doesn't mean, when I tell my kids when they're crying about something and I tell them to suck it up, it doesn't mean that I don't care about the situation. It doesn't mean that I've stopped loving them. Sometimes you just got to suck it up and move on. There's nothing we can do about it now. It's already done. Now you got to go forward. I love Jesus' response to this guy, though. In verse 3, he responds with compassion. It says, Jesus reached out and touched him. He reached out and touched this man with leprosy. You know, we sometimes read stuff like this and we think, oh, big deal, he touched him. No, this was huge. The fact that he was willing to touch him it defied what everyone else was thinking. This guy shouldn't be this close to you. You're going to catch it. You touched him, you're definitely going to get leprosy now. Mark 1, I feel like all three accounts, no matter how you read it, all three accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all say that Jesus touched him. Mark 1:41 says, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. Luke 5:13 says, Jesus reached out and touched him. Mark said it best, though. It was more about just the touch. It was more about compassion. It wasn't just the touch. It wasn't that he just walked up and put his hand on him. It was about the compassion in the moment. He felt for him. He understood. He understood the exile that the man was going through. He understood that it was more than just the leprosy that this guy was dealing with. It wasn't, the leprosy was one thing, but the outcast, the not being able to see his family, the not being able to participate in community, to not being able to participate in church, nothing. Pure isolation. Can you imagine the moment when Jesus touched him, though? The crowd was murmuring, what is this guy doing here? Does he really think that God can move in his life? What is happening? He's an outcast. And then the collective gasp and, oh my, because Jesus actually touched him. Rabbis weren't supposed to do that. They didn't touch lepers. Nobody did. Because under the law, if you touched a leper, you became unclean as well. Jesus isn't like everyone else. Jesus doesn't become unclean when he touches the broken. The broken become clean when he touches it. This is the heart of the gospel. He's not afraid of your dirt. He draws close to your pain. He doesn't stand off at a distance. He puts his hand on your shame and says, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. You messed up? Okay. We're going to do better next time. I still love you. What are you going to do to fix it? Let's move forward. Let's move forward. Jesus showed not only his compassion by touching him, but in action he showed compassion by healing him. He reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Immediately. One word from Jesus changed everything. There was no process. There was no delay. It was an instant healing, complete restoration. That's the power of Jesus. Not only to heal bodies, but to restore dignity. To put broken people back together. He didn't just heal the man physically. He gave him back his life. He gave him back his community. His ability to worship. His connection to people. In a moment, this man's life changed. He could see his wife and his kids again. He could hug his mom and his dad's neck again. He could go and worship in the temple. He could go back to running his business. But it didn't stop there. Jesus didn't just heal him and then just say, "Okay, see you later." He didn't just reach out and touch him and heal him and say, "Well, good luck next time." He told him, he said, in verse 4, he said, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required of the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy.'" For those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. Go show yourself to the priest as a testimony to them. Don't just go. Don't just go back into the community and do whatever. Go and show the priest. Because the priest is the one that has to tell you that you're clean. Everybody here can see it, but the priest's got to tell you. Why? Because the priests were the doctors. The priests weren't only the priests, they were the doctors. They were the people who could tell you yes or no. You can come in, you can't. That's who he had to go get approved by. So the priest, this guy goes to the priest. The priest says, "Okay, now you have to do these three things because this is what the law of Moses says in Leviticus 14. This is what Moses commanded to us. And then you can come back." Why did Jesus tell him to go and do this, though? Why? Because the healing wasn't just for him. The healing wasn't just for this man at this moment. It was a testimony to others. This was his testimony. "I was a leper and now I'm not." Why? How? "He touched me. He touched me. And when he said, 'Be healed,' I was instantly healed." When he touched my shoulder, and he said, "Be healed," I was. And now I'm walking that healing out by coming to the priest to be said, "Yes, you were healed." I'm not going back to the leper camp. I don't have to. I'm no longer an outcast to society. Because he made me clean. He healed me. It was his testimony. "I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I once was unclean, and now I'm clean. I once was sick, now I'm well." When Jesus heals you, it's never just for your comfort. It's for his glory. And your testimony. God doesn't do things in your life for you to keep it to yourself. He does it to build your faith and everyone around you's faith. God doesn't heal you and then just say, "All right, now keep this quiet." I know he did that throughout Scripture. Everyone he healed, he told them to be quiet. It was reverse psychology. Because, James, if I tell you something and I say, don't tell anybody, you know what you're going to do? You're going to tell Sam. And you're going to tell Sam, don't tell anyone. And then Sam's going to tell her Sam, her person, right? And that person is going to tell their person. And before you know it, everybody knows. Well, we got some that just don't keep it a secret at all and just put it on Front Street. But he knew that if I tell them not to tell anyone, they're going to tell everyone. If I tell them to tell people, they're going to tell one or two people. You will never believe what happened. If anyone walks up and says that to you, immediately expect something not true to come out of their mouth. It was a testimony. When Jesus heals your life, when he does something for you, it's not for you to keep to yourself. It's to share with others, because it builds your faith, but it also builds the people around you's faith. When God does something, it's for us to tell people. It's for us to tell people. For the last year, 2024 and this year, Thursday mornings, there's one thing that I've prayed for every Thursday morning. We were praying for the building when we were in the beginning in 2024. We were praying that God would rapidly remove debt. Not only for the church as a whole, but for individual lives. I've been praying that every Thursday morning. Zach, am I right? Every Thursday morning. When we close, that's how we end the prayer. 2 weeks ago, I got an email. I've had some debt hanging over me for a while. I've paid and paid and paid and paid. There was an opportunity for me to fill out some paperwork and get some of that gone. I filled out the paperwork. 2 years ago, I filled out the paperwork. And I have been waiting. Still paying. Still going, this is so dumb. I've paid what I borrowed off 3 times, and I still owe the same amount. It's ridiculous. Got an email. All of it's forgiven. $26,000. $26,000 gone. Rapid debt reduction. I am believing that. For everyone in this house. I've been praying and believing that. And I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop believing that. Because I know that he can. It's our testimony. He doesn't do it for us to keep to ourselves. He doesn't do it for us to keep to ourselves. What if God had paid off the building and then I didn't tell y'all? What good would that have done? It was a moment of testimony that God paid it, right? God doesn't do something in your life for you to keep it to yourself. He does it for you to share it so that you can build the faith around you. Going back to the leper, though. He believed that he could. But he didn't know if he was willing. And Jesus showed him that he was willing. He felt disqualified because of his leprosy. He felt shame because of his leprosy. He felt like his life, it felt untouchable because of this disease. What do you feel that disqualifies you this morning? What shame have you been carrying? What area of your life feels untouchable? Can I tell you this morning that Jesus does not come with condemnation, but he comes with compassion. He's not afraid of your dirt. He's not afraid of your mess. He is willing and he is able. All All he needs is for you to come. Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. He needs us to come to him. This leper came desperate. He came honest and believing just enough to say, Lord, if you're willing, I know that you can. Are you willing? And that's where we have to be. We have to be able to believe that he will, that he can. Ask him if he will. And believe it when he does it. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for these people this morning. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this house. Lord, I'm believing for more testimonies to come out, for more testimonies of you showing up in people's lives, whether it's healing, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whatever the need is, God, we know that you're able. And so, God, I pray that you do it today. Lord, if there are ones in this place that feel disqualified for whatever reason, disqualified for your blessing, disqualified from your healing, disqualified from receiving from you, Lord, I pray that you help them to see, to help them to see that you're not, that they're not disqualified, that you love them, that you will show. Maybe you're in this place, though, this morning, and you say, you know what? I do feel disqualified. I feel like that what I'm going through, that God doesn't care. I feel like that what I'm going through and what I've been through disqualifies me from him moving. And this morning, I just need him to prove to me again that he's willing. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. And I know that he's here and wants to wrap his arms around you. Maybe you're not where you need to be with God. And this morning you want to get right with him. I want to invite you to come. Maybe you've been carrying around some shame, though. Maybe you got something in your life that you've been carrying around. And it's eating you up. You may put on the good face and... but you're carrying around a shame. And you say, I need to see God to remove this. I don't want to carry this any longer. I need God to move in my life. I want to invite you to come. I want to invite you to come. Don't miss it this morning. Don't let pride and what other people think hold you back. Maybe there's an area in your life that you just feel like it's untouchable. That you feel like that God's not going to move in that situation. Maybe it's something that you've just held on to. Maybe it's something that you've carried for a long time. Maybe it's something that you've prayed about. And for whatever reason, it hasn't changed. And this morning you say, I'm ready for him to change that. I want to invite you to come. He is willing. He is willing. Are you desperate enough? Maybe you need God to heal you. Maybe you need God to heal you physically. Maybe you need him to heal you mentally. Regardless of what it is, you need a healing this morning. I am believing today that he is able to heal. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. Don't miss it this morning. I believe that there's some more people that need to be here this morning. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you right now. The hardest step that you'll take, the hardest part of it is the first step. Lord, I just thank you today. I thank you today. I thank you for the ones that have responded and the ones that are still at their seats. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you begin to move and you begin to touch, God. Lord, that you begin to do what only you can do. In this place, we just thank you. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so.